Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back. So our fourth shiur in this series. So we've discussed so far over the last 3 weeks. The first week we talked about an introduction to the concept of Shabbat and the activities which a person can, which he should do on Erev Shabbat. Second shiur, we talked about Kiddush, Havdalah, the meals of Shabbat, etc., Sudot Shabbat. And last week, we began learning about Bishul, okay? And we spent quite some time on that. And some of you may not have been here last week, so I just wanted to recap what we discussed last week, the main points that we discussed last week, just in point form, and then a few more details, a few more halachot with regards to Bishul. Then we're going to move on tonight to three rabbinical prohibitions which are related to Bishul. Okay, and they are going to be, they're called in Hebrew Shehiyah. Shehiyah, which means leaving something on the fire to cook over the course of Shabbat. Secondly is Chazara, that means to put something back onto the fire. It was ready on the fire when Shabbat began, putting it back on. And thirdly, Hatmana. Hatmana means to wrap, to cover something up on Shabbat and before Shabbat. That's what we're going to be dealing with, three separate issues over the course of the evening. Just before that, I want to summarize what we learned in Bishul. So we said last week that Bishul is one of the 39 melachot, means to cook something on Shabbat, to transform the substance of a food to make it edible. And we said this only applies when you're using the power of fire. Okay, like in the Mishkan, they used fire in order to cook. Similarly, only when a person uses fire is there a prohibition of Bishul on Shabbat. However, a person who uses cooks in the sun, directly from the sun's rays, said that's fine. That's totally fine for a person to do so. We did say, though, that from a rabbinic perspective, even though cooking in the sun itself is permissible, but cooking in Toldot HaChama, in the derivative of the sun, we said there's a problem. Okay, we explained that it's slightly paradoxical, but nonetheless, because the onlooker doesn't know that this utensil has been heated up by the sun, it may have been heated up by fire, so the onlooker, it looks like it's a problem. Therefore, rabbis said that a person shouldn't cook in a derivative, something which has been heated up by the sun, although you could cook in the sun itself, not in something heated up by the sun. Then we also talked about kli sheni. Remember we said that, strictly speaking, Bishul is only transgressed when a person cooks something, either through the heat of a fire, or he cooks even through the heat of something which has been directly heated on the fire. Okay, which means, we said in practice, that means even if you take off a pot of soup, you take it off the fire, okay, and it's now off the fire, so it's no longer connected to the fire, but that still has the power, has the potency of cooking. And therefore, to put some into a hot pot, which is, even though it's been recently removed off the fire, nonetheless, it's still going to be a problem to put a raw food into it, because a kli rishon has the power to cook. That's what we discussed last week. But we did say that mi'ikar hadin, strictly speaking, when you transfer something into a kli sheni, into a second utensil, then under almost all circumstances, there's no longer any bishul there. We could say there are a few exceptions. We talked about eggs. We talked about perhaps tea as well. We talked about the correct ways of making tea and coffee and all of that. Similarly, we said that strictly speaking, there's no problem of bishul after afiyah or afiyah after bishul, which means once something has been cooked, you're allowed to bake it. Once something has been baked, you're allowed to cook it. And we discussed the differences between the two, what baking and cooking are. And therefore we said, there is no problem for us to take croutons, which may have only been baked, and put them into our soup, which has been cooked on Shabbat. A person is allowed to do that, certainly for Sfaradim, even for Ashkenazim. If a ladle is used, it's definitely fine as well. Okay. Now, 2 points, and these 2 points we're going to need for tonight as well, so I'm going to, which we discussed last week, but we need to continue with this tonight as well. To reheat on Shabbat, okay, what did we say last week? We said we distinguished between solids and liquids. And we said that a person is allowed to reheat solids on Shabbat. Which means you can take a piece of schnitzel, let's say, which although it's cooled down now, you're allowed to now go and put it back and reheat it, because en bishul achar bishul bedavar yavesh, something which is dry, there's no bishul. We explain the reason for this is because the primary purpose of cooking a solid is to transform it from inedible to edible. So it's been transformed into an edible now. True, it's cooled down, so no longer has the secondary advantage that it's hot, but nonetheless, the primary advantage that you've changed it from an inedible into edible is there, and therefore you're allowed to reheat it on Shabbat. We said, however, a liquid, according to us, you're not allowed to reheat it on Shabbat. And what does that mean, reheat? So we've said the temperature, which we always need to be thinking about when it comes to bishul. What did we say last week? What's the important temperature? Yatzvedo, which is 45 degrees. Once the liquid has cooled down beyond 45 degrees, then you can no longer reheat it. So we've said a pot of soup, which you've taken off, okay, you've served people 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, it's now cooled down somewhat, it's forbidden to put that back onto the fire on Shabbat. Okay, because with liquids, yesh bishul achar bishul, there is a problem of cooking and further cooking. So now, that's the next point we need to discuss now. What happens if the majority of the dish is a solid, but it's got liquid in it? So, classical example, fish, okay, salmon. You have your salmon and you have juice, you have sauce, okay? And it's been fully cooked before Shabbat, both the salmon and the sauce, and now you're going to take it out of the fridge and reheat it. Are you allowed to do that? On the one hand, it's a solid dish. On the other hand, it's got liquid in it. Do we follow the majority, the solid, and we say, therefore, you're allowed to reheat the entire dish? Or do we say that no, that since there is liquid within the dish, it's a problem? And the final halakha, as we said, we're following the psakim of Chacham Avadiah Yosef. The final halakha is that as long as this is a dish which is called a solid, okay, and you refer to it as a solid food, not as a liquid, then that's fine to reheat it, even though if there is liquid in it. So the salmon with the sauce, yeah, you don't call this sauce with salmon. Yeah, you call it salmon, which also has some sauce to make it tastier. Therefore, there's no problem of reheating that. However, a very watery cholent, for example, okay, well, there you could argue perhaps it's more, you know, some cholents are more for soup than it is chamin, right? Than it is cholent itself. So that would be a problem. Or a stew where it's half-half, or it's more liquid than a solid, then that would be a problem to reheat it on Shabbat, even though it's been fully cooked before Shabbat. Why? Because with the liquids, there is a problem of further reheating it on Shabbat. So, as long as the majority of the dish is a solid, and that's what you call it, then it's fine to reheat it on Shabbat, even if there is a liquid there. Now, having said that, we should be aware of a very important halakha. And that is, that even though generally speaking we know that a person is not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do sankriya on Shabbat, okay? What's normally forbidden for you, it's forbidden to ask a non-Jew unless there are special circumstances, which we will discuss in later shiurim, towards the end. However, with liquids, because as I mentioned last week, there is a huge debate whether there is a problem of cooking, reheating a liquid on Shabbat. Although the final halakha is, as we've said, you're not allowed to reheat a liquid on Shabbat, but since there are many great authorities, including the Rambam, who say that a person is allowed to reheat a liquid on Shabbat, although we don't follow that, but nonetheless, to ask a non-Jew is permissible. And therefore, it's totally fine for a person to instruct his au pair, or to instruct a non-Jew in his house, to go and take a liquid which has already been heated. It's already been cooked before Shabbat. The soup was cooked before Shabbat. It's now cooled down though, okay? It's totally fine to reheat it and to ask a non-Jew to reheat it and put it on the hot plate. You yourself would be forbidden, like we've said, because we are concerned with the authorities that there is further reheating when it comes to liquids. However, to instruct a non-Jew, you don't have to hint, you don't have to move your hands, anything. You can directly instruct the non-Jew, please go and put this cold soup which has been cooked before Shabbat, go and put it on the fire, on the hot plate. That's fine to do on Shabbat.
When it comes okay? to when you said being cooked, what is cooked? Is it it's been boiled?
Boiled. Yeah. Now, with all of these halachot which we've learned, which we keep, what happens if a person finds himself, he's been invited out to a house for Shabbat, and he is concerned that, actually, he's concerned that, not just concerned, he's got, you know, he's pretty sure that the person who he's eating at has not kept his halachot, hasn't kept these laws, and so Bishul has been transgressed on Shabbat. Can you eat in that person's house? So there's a principle when it comes to many of the 39 melachot of Shabbat, and that is, there is a prohibition from benefiting from something which has been done on Shabbat, which was incorrectly and which was done in a forbidden way. Even though you didn't do it yourself, there is a knas, there's a penalty that you mustn't have any benefit from it, so as not to encourage, or even not explicitly, maybe implicitly encourage a person who has broken Shabbat. And therefore, if food is cooked on Shabbat, even if it was done unintentionally, so even if you want to argue that the person you're eating at doesn't know the halachot, he doesn't know these rules, and he thinks you're allowed to cook on Shabbat, he thinks you're allowed to take something which has been half cooked before Shabbat and completes its cooking on Shabbat on the hot plate. That's what he or she thinks. So they are mistaken, not doing it intentionally, but they are mistaken. Nonetheless, it's forbidden to have benefit from that food on Shabbat itself. After Shabbat, you're allowed to have benefit from it. You're allowed to eat it. Both the guest and the actual host, if it was done unintentionally. Okay? But on Shabbat itself, it's strictly forbidden. And so this is a problem. If a person knows or is very suspicious, the person he's eating at is a home in which these halachot are not kept at all, then that is a serious problem to eat at on Shabbat. Okay? That's a serious problem. If a person has already accepted such an invitation, and then realizes there's a problem, then he should discuss it with the rabbinical authority, because you know that is an issue. However, this only, and I'll say this in brackets, but we'll talk about it a bit later in other in future shiurim, this only applies when it comes to bishul itself. Because cooking something changes its substance, changes its essence. And something like that, a penalty is imposed that you don't benefit from it, so that people don't do this on Shabbat. But something like selection, yeah, although we're going to learn the correct ways of a person how to select on Shabbat, how he, you know, what he should do, what he shouldn't do, something like that, when you select something, you separate one thing from another, right? Something like that, you're not actually changing the essence of the food. If you have a mixture of different foods and you now select them and divide them and sort them out, okay, you haven't actually changed the essence of the food itself. You've divided it, you've made it more, you've separated it and everything, that's all true. You haven't actually changed the substance of the food itself. If that's your problem, you're concerned that you're eating in a house where, you know, God forbid, they'll never cook the food on Shabbat, but they may not be necessarily aware of the intricacies of borer, of how to select food and how not to select food, you know, the correct conditions, how a person's meant to separate food on Shabbat, that's fine for a person to eat in such a house, because, again, do you see the difference? It's not the same as when you cook something. When you cook something, you change the actual substance, you're changing the essence of the thing. Whereas when you're selecting something and just moving it around, although you've done a prohibition, okay, nonetheless, you are allowed to actually benefit from it and eat it on Shabbat. So only if a person is suspicious or has strong grounds to believe that the person isn't keeping bishul even, and a person should refrain from eating in such a place on Shabbat. That's an important point. Okay. So that brings us, we'll take a special data. So that brings us to the end of bishul. Okay? That brings the end of bishul. That's just a summarizing what we learned last week and a few more further points. Moving on, we're going to now discuss three rabbinic prohibitions which are related to bishul, which is why we put them together. The first one is called Shehiyah. Shehiyah only applies on Fridays. It's a prohibition which only applies on Fridays and not on Shabbat. Let me explain what that means. Normally, and we know this from our experience, anything which you do before Shabbat is permissible for it to continue into Shabbat itself. as long as you're not doing anything. So, for example, you want to water your garden. Okay, so watering your garden on Shabbat, that's one of the 39 melachot, which we'll discuss later on. Okay, that's forbidden to do, of course, we know that. What happens if I leave my hose on, or I leave my watering system on Friday afternoon, half an hour, 20 minutes, 10 minutes before Shabbat? If I comes in this week at 4 o'clock approximately, I switch on 3:45, and it rotates around my garden, and the entire 25 hours of Shabbat is watering my grass, and it's causing my plants to grow and to develop. Surely that's planting. No, that's fine. That's totally fine, because you're not doing anything on Shabbat. You've done this from before Shabbat. It's continuing during the course of Shabbat, but you've done it before Shabbat. The same reason, by the way, you think about where we have electricity, we have timers coming on and off. Yeah, if you weren't allowed to do that, then the timers wouldn't be allowed to come on. Electricity wouldn't be allowed to come on, because even though you've done it before Shabbat, you're benefiting from Shabbat itself, from something just happening on Shabbat. That's still fine, because you've done it from before Shabbat, and although it's only actually operating on Shabbat itself, nonetheless, because it's been put on before Shabbat, you're allowed to continue the course of Shabbat. So therefore, using that logic, you would say that Shabbat comes in at 4 o'clock this week approximately, we're not allowed to cook on Shabbat. So what's wrong if I take a piece of meat, it takes 2-3 hours to cook, I go and leave it on in my pot at 3:30, and I've put the right temperature on, timer, the stove's going to go off at 6 o'clock when the fruit's cooked. There shouldn't be any problem with that, correct? Because I'm not actually cooking, I'm not doing... Although I'm cooking on Shabbat in the sense that the fruit is being cooked on Shabbat, but I'm not actually myself going and doing an act of cooking on Shabbat itself. The cooking is happening by itself. So surely that would be fine. And yes, from the Torah's perspective, that's fine, because again, you're not doing anything on Shabbat itself. Nonetheless, Chachamim knew human nature, and they know that human beings, especially Jews, like food, and especially on Shabbat. Okay, and they were concerned that if a person leaves food to cook during the course of Shabbat, although everything else is permissible to program to work over Shabbat, that's fine. Okay, but when it comes to food, food is its own category, and they said that a person shouldn't leave food to cook over the course of Shabbat. Okay? Even though he did it on Friday afternoon. Why? Because of the concern that was. What's the concern? The concern is, you come in from shul 5 o'clock, and you're the one looking after the food, and you come in, and you see that actually you've got guests coming in half an hour. Guests are called for 5:30. Okay? And you're looking at your piece of meat now, and you're seeing, wow, this has got another 2 hours to go. And the guests are not going to be able, I'm not going to be able to hold them out for so long, right, for the main course. And so there is the concern that a person may actually come to increase the temperature, increase the flame. And what will be the problem with that? If a person increases, he switches up the knob on Shabbat, what will be the problem with that? Sorry? Okay, it's one. Speed up the cooking, yeah. What else would that be a problem? There's two major issues here. Two major issues. Number one is what you've correctly said, what we talked about last week. You're speeding up the cooking. And speeding up the cooking process is as problematic as cooking itself. Okay? By you raising the temperature, you are now speeding up the cooking process, and you've now transgressed a biblical prohibition of bishul. Secondly, is that you've done, you have to come to my time, it's forbidden, it's from the Torah, it's forbidden, you're cooking. Secondly, there's also an issue of igniting a fire. Are you going to tell me I haven't ignited anything? The fire's already there, I've just raised it. From the Torah's perspective, there's no difference between igniting a fire, lighting a match, okay, to increasing a fire. Okay, so on Shabbat we're talking about. And so to increase the flame on Shabbat, that's another biblical prohibition of Mav'ir. So there are two huge concerns here. If a person is concerned that his food is not cooking fast enough, and he needs the food, he's hungry, or for every reason he needs that food, and he wants to go and raise the temperature, then there is the issue that, number one, he's speeding the cooking process, and number two, he's going to be transgressing the prohibition of Mav'ir of ignition, even though he's just raising the temperature. And in those days, and this is very important to understand this, and we're going to come back to this this evening. In those days, you didn't have a stove. What did you have? How would you keep the... You would have the coals, right? You'd have the coals. And there, it's very easy, you know, in a moment of forgetfulness, even in a moment of intent. You know, you're so concerned about your food, and you want to make sure, we talked about the first two lectures about Onik Shabbat, the importance of enjoying Shabbat. You want to make sure you really enjoy Shabbat. And you're going to come to stoke the coals, and transgress these two prohibitions. Therefore, Chachamim said, make sure the food isn't not properly cooked. Okay? Because if it's not properly cooked, then you have this concern. However, they said that once food has reached a certain level, okay, once it's reached a certain level, then you're no longer concerned that a person is going to actually transgress a prohibition of Shabbat. What's that certain level? This is a huge, huge, huge debate in the Gemara, huge debate in the Talmud between two opinions. One opinion is it has to be fully cooked. Even though, if it may be, you know, perhaps getting better by being left on the fire, nonetheless, it has to be fully cooked in order to be able to leave food on from before Shabbat. The second opinion holds, no, it has to be so extreme. Even if a food is edible somewhat, that means, true, I would normally wait to cook it a bit longer. Yeah, I would normally wait to cook it a bit longer. But, for whatever reason now, I'm very hungry. I can't wait so long. You would eat it. It's edible under extenuating circumstances. It's edible. Okay? That approximately is half cooked. Once a food has been cooked half, okay? That's called Ma'achal Ben Durusai, the food of Ben Durusai. It was a person who didn't eat his food. He didn't cook it well. Okay, he only cooked it halfway because he was very... He was a highway, he was a bandit, and he was on the road a lot. And so he would cook things very fast and eat it half cooked. And so that opinion holds, as long as it's half cooked, there's no problem. We're not concerned that you're going to actually try to raise the temperature to make it fully cooked. We are concerned if it's a quarter cooked. Or it's a third cooked. Then you come home, wow, I can't eat this, I can't even serve this. Right? So then you got the temptation of raising the temperature. But if it's been half cooked, that's fine. And that is the halakha which we follow. Okay? This is a huge, as I said, this is a huge debate and there's so much to it. But the final point we get to is that actually if it's been half cooked, it's fine. And therefore what we're going to discuss is only applicable if the food is less than half cooked. Once it's been half cooked, then you may leave it on a naked flame on Shabbat, from before Shabbat, of course. From before Shabbat, you may leave it on a naked flame to continue to cook fully over the course of the evening, perhaps until next morning, wherever your desires are. But
what do you mean by naked flame?
Not covered. Uncooked, uncovered flame, fire. Breath will come to in a second. Okay. So then, if it's a quarter cooked. If your stove is going off at 7 o'clock and it's half cooked, you can leave your pot on to cook over Shabbat and be fully cooked by 7 o'clock, which is when the stove go off. That's fine. But what happens, and this is very applicable in the winter, because in the winter, Shabbat comes in, now, at the peak of the winter, Shabbat can come in at 3:35 even. Okay? Shabbat this week is 10 to 4, something along those lines, 5 to 4, right? And so, in the summer, that's a problem, because in the summer, we bring in, Shabbat comes in at 9 o'clock only, we bring in Shabbat 7:15, so even if you put the food on the stove at 7 o'clock, by the time you get to Shabbat at 9, it'll be cooked. But in the winter, this can be a huge issue. Why? You come home late from work, okay, 2:30, 3 o'clock, you think to yourself, look, my husband's going to be out for sure for an hour or two, he's not going to get back till 5:30. So I put the food on at 3 o'clock, and I'll continue to cook, and at 5 o'clock when he comes home, 5:30 comes home, we eat, we'll be ready. That's a problem if, when Shabbat begins, the food isn't cooked halfway. So the person has to make sure it's cooked at least halfway. However, this is an important point. Chachamim said that if a person covers the coals, okay, we're talking about Talmudic times, we had coals. If you cover the coals, then you made it clear recognition. You made a clear sign that you are taking your mind off this and you're not going to be tempted to go and actually raise the temperature. So what they did was, is they covered the coals with some sort of, you cover it with any sort of cover, which is inflammable, of course, and then you could leave your food on top. And this is where the concept of the blech comes from. This is what the purpose of the blech is. That's why we have a blech. Yeah. If the food is half cooked, yeah, and second point, which we'll talk about later tonight, but if the food is half cooked, then you don't need a blech, really. If you're not planning on putting food back onto the fire on Shabbat, there's no need for a blech. You can leave the food on the stove in an uncovered flame. The reason you need a blech is for circumstances in which the food isn't cooked half, and then you want to make sure that you can continue to cook over Shabbat, then you need a blech. What the blech does is it covers the flame, just like in the olden days they would cover the coals. It covers the flame as well, and that's a reminder that this is for Shabbat, this isn't normally here during the week. This is a reminder you cannot tamper with the dials, you cannot tamper with the fire, it's forbidden to do so on Shabbat. Now, according to this logic, you would argue that you would have to cover where? The dials as well. Correct? Because, think about it, in the olden days, the coals themselves were the fire. Right? Today, it's different. In the olden days, if you wanted to increase the temperature, what would you need to do? You need to move, stoke the coals themselves, and the coals themselves are the fire. Okay? But today, if you want to increase the temperature of the fire, you can't tamper with the fire. You can't. Yeah, you have to tamper with the dials. So you could argue that you would have to cover the dials themselves. And that's what you'll see some people doing. However, the halakha is that you don't need to do that. Because at the end of the day, the hachamim were concerned about the place of the fire itself. As long as there is a recognition, as long as there is a sign on the place of the fire itself, that's fine, even though the dials are uncovered. And therefore you will see some blechs, they come, if you notice, some blechs come with like a bends over, okay, a piece of aluminium actually coming round. That's in order for those who are particular to cover the dials. But that's not, strictly speaking, necessary. We Sephardim were never particular about that. And all you have to do is cover the actual flame, the actual stove itself. Now what would you say about a hot plate? Okay? Now, nowadays, I haven't seen in the last 5-10 years, I have seen in Israel, but I haven't seen here in England, a hot plate which actually has a dial. Almost all hot plates you'll buy today, I think maybe all hot plates you'll buy today, don't have dials. There is a standard set temperature and you cannot tamper with the temperature. And therefore, this whole reasoning isn't a problem with the hot plate. If you're using a hot plate from before Shabbat and you're leaving your food to cook, even if it's less than half cooked, that's totally fine, because you can't raise the temperature. What can you do? There's no way of raising the temperature. It's on, and there's no way of changing it. The poskim talk about in the olden days when there were hot plates with dials. That would actually be a problem, because then you have the situation where you can make tamper. But today, all hot plates actually come with a standard set temperature that you can't actually change, and therefore, a person may, just like he may leave food to cook on a blech on Shabbat, he may also leave food to cook from before Shabbat on the hot plate over the course of Shabbat. That's also totally fine.
What's the difference between a blech and a hot plate?
So blech is the very thin aluminium, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Aluminium. It's less common. In olden, 10, 20 years ago, it was very common. I think most families had blechs. Blech is like it's a thick piece of aluminium. Okay, thick piece of aluminium. And a hot plate's a hot plate. So,
but the fire itself burning under that makes it a hot plate. Makes the blech a hot plate.
Makes it hot, correct. But it's not the point. The point is it's covered, so it's a recognition. So it's,
but the same. One is electrical and one is probably gas or something.
Electric and gas are the same.
For the purposes of it now, exactly the same,
Could you have an electric cooker on and use that as the blech, not put anything on top? Pure electric.
No, because then you have the same issue. If the food's not half cooked,
but you can't add.
Why you can't? Why you not?
You mean the control?
Of course you can. Yeah. We have to got lots to get through. We'll take questions then, if you don't mind, because we've got a lot to get through and time's running out. Now, when it comes to an urn, this is the same applies with an urn, and again, this is very applicable in the winter. Okay, many families just before Shabbat they've forgotten to fill up the urn. Quickly fill up the urn. Now, This, what we've learned applies equally to solids and liquids. And a liquid, if you put the water into the urn just before Shabbat, it has to reach at least 45 degrees, Yad Soledes Ba. Okay, and if you put it in just before Shabbat, it's going to take at least 20 minutes, a quarter of an hour or so, to actually boil. That's a problem. A person should ensure, especially in these short winters, that you know at least a good half an hour, at the very minimum, depends how big it is, but you know most urns, at least half an hour before Shabbat, just put the urn on with the water in, so that it will reach, at the very least, it will reach Yad Soledes Ba 45 degrees, which is equivalent to half cooked. Okay? The truth is, it's actually best for it to be fully boiled before Shabbat. And I'll tell you why. This is in parentheses, very, very briefly. I'll tell you why. Because, remember we learned that when you speed the cooking process, it's a problem. Okay? Now think about it. You put the urn on half an hour before Shabbat. When Shabbat began, it was 50 degrees. Okay? So that's fine. 10 minutes further, it's now 75 degrees, and now you want a drink of water. You want a hot, so you know it's not fully boiled, but it's still hot enough to have a tea. And you go and open the urn, and you make yourself a tea, in the correct ways, which we learned last week. Okay? But what's the problem now?
We use the water.
The problem is the water in the urn, is now there's now less of it. And what you've done is now, you're going to be speeding indirectly, true. You're indirectly speeding the cooking, the boiling of the remaining water in the urn. You see? And therefore, you shouldn't do that unless it's fully boiled. Okay? But a person doesn't have to make sure it's fully boiled. A person can just make sure it's 45 degrees. And then be aware that you shouldn't take out from the urn until it's actually boiled another half an hour later. But it's just good for simplicity's sake. You know, people want to use the urn, they don't know it hasn't been fully boiled. It's, you know, it's a good idea to make sure that it's fully boiled before Shabbat, so when Shabbat begins, and there's no issues in at all with that. One final point when it comes to this, and we'll summarize this. If a person is in a place where he has no blech, he has no, he's away on holiday, you've got no hot plate, you're being hot plate with, you've got no blech, yeah, equivalent of hot plate, and you've come home from an outing on a Friday afternoon, and you know, and you got half an hour till Shabbat and the food's raw. What are you going to do? You can't leave it to cook over Shabbat. That's what we've just been learning. Okay? What you can do, you can make a makeshift blech. Okay? What you can do is just take a few pieces of aluminium foil. Okay? Not one piece, it's not significant enough, but a few pieces of aluminium foil. 2, 3, 4 pieces, fold them up. Okay? And that can act as a makeshift blech. That's essentially what blech is. What is a blech? It's a piece of hard aluminium. So you have a few layers of aluminium foil, okay, that will work as a blech. If, however, a person doesn't have that, so he hasn't got his hot plate, hasn't got his blech, hasn't got aluminium foil handy, and you know he's running out of time before Shabbat, then, strictly speaking, he can't have that food. He can't cook that food from before Shabbat. Nonetheless, if a person finds himself in such a situation, he should seek rabbinic guidance. If you can find the rabbi 20 minutes before Shabbat to answer the phone call. Okay. The reason being, very simple, is, I won't go into too much detail into this, but some argue that, again, we don't follow this, so don't rely on this, but if a person finds himself stranded, some argue that this whole prohibition isn't applicable today anymore, it's not relevant. Why? And it's very logical, this argument, and think about it. In Talmudic times, when the rabbis made this prohibition, they made this, they enacted this. What were they talking about? They were talking about colds. Colds, if you leave them, what happens to colds? Naturally, what happens to them? They burn out, they go off. So then there's a concern as you come home and you see that the food's not cooked enough and the colds aren't as strong as they were when you put it on before Shabbat. Then there's the concern, which the Hachamim were concerned about, that you're going to come to stoke it. But today, are we concerned that we're going to who said that we should be concerned that you're going to raise the temperature? Perhaps the Hachamim only made their gezerah, they only made their decree in a situation where the fire is decreasing. Then they were concerned that you may come to actually tamper with the fire. But in a case where the flame is steady, with not changing, some argue that today is no problem. If it's a flame which is steady, it's not going to be changing. Okay? And therefore, although we don't follow this halachically, but this is an opinion, significant opinion, and therefore if a person finds himself stranded, he should seek rabbinic guidance what to do in such a case. To summarize this first rabbinic prohibition, we've said that, although strictly speaking from the Torah, just to summarize what we learned, okay? Although strictly speaking from the Torah, a person may leave food to cook over the course of Shabbat, we did before Shabbat, just like they had to leave the hose on. Nonetheless, Hachamim were concerned that a person may tamper with the fire on Shabbat and transgress two prohibitions. Number one, cooking, and number two, ignition, mav'ir. Two prohibitions. As long as the food is half cooked, that's fine. Okay, a person may leave food even on an uncovered flame. That's fine as well. If, however, the food isn't, he doesn't have a chance to get to half cooked, then you should make sure either to use a blech or a hot plate, at the very least, a few pieces of aluminium foil wrapped together, covered up to cover over the flame. And if a person still is stuck, then that's a problem. And you should seek guidance with that. And that applies both to solids and liquids, by the way, as we said. Liquid as well. The urn, we talked about food. First, should make sure that it is half cooked. And liquid as well. At the very least, the urn, the water in the urn should be, at the very least, yet solidified by 45 degrees.
I have just one question.
Yeah.
You put a pot in a pot in the last case that you just spoke about. So, for example, if he doesn't have aluminium foil, it's 20 minutes before Shabbat, so he's got two pots. Put one pot on the fire, put the second pot on the pot, and cook.
Excellent. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. If the first pot is empty.
First pot's empty. One pot's going inside the other, not opposite.
You could do that as well. That's another great option. Yeah. Why? The logic is very simple. Because that's a heker. It's a recognition. It's a sign to remind you that.
But the iron is not even. It's not really there. When you put a pot in a pot, it might be difficult to tell.
There's no problem with that.
No, but you're saying it's for your own recognition.
No, that's fine. As long as there's a gap, that's fine. Okay, that brings us to the end of the first rabbinic prohibition of Shehiyah, it's called. Leaving something to cook over the course of Shabbat. We're going to come to that, hopefully, if we've got time. The second rabbinic prohibition is called Chazara. Okay? And I want to clear this and clarify it for us, Faradim, because there are misconceptions with this. Chazara means that a person, until now we talked about food which you want to leave on from before Shabbat. Now we're talking about on Shabbat itself. So, from the Torah's perspective, I have schnitzel, which has been fully cooked before Shabbat, fully cooked, of course. Can I go and put it in a pot and put it on the stove, on an uncovered flame? Can I do that on Shabbat? What have we learned? There's no further cooking with solids. Why not? There's no problem at all. Yeah, from the Torah's perspective, because it's fully cooked. What's the issue? The stove's already on. The fire's already on, not turning the temperature. Okay, I put these schnitzels into the pot, and I put the pot onto the fire. It's fine. Shouldn't be any problem with that. And from the Torah, there's no problem with that. Hachamim came, and they said, no, a person shouldn't put something onto a flame on Shabbat. Okay, even if it's fully cooked, there's no problem with Bishur. Why? Because they said two concerns. It's two ways to understand the rabbinic prohibition. One understanding is that mechezekim basher, it's called. It looks like you're cooking. To the onlooker, to yourself even, yeah? You may not be fully aware, or people in the family are fully aware that this food is being fully cooked. And you know what you're doing is you're taking something out of the fridge, like you do during the week, you take a raw piece of food out of the fridge, put it in the pot, and put the pot on the fire. Okay, now what you're doing is taking a schnitzel, which happens to be, it's been cooked already, okay, putting it in your pot, putting it on the fire. That looks like an act of cooking. Therefore, rabbinically, Hachamim said, don't do that. The second concern is, again, like we've been saying until now, is that what you may do is, because it's cold and you want your food to become hot, when you put it into the pot and put it onto the flame, onto the coals, then you may be tempted to turn it up, okay? So that it reheats faster, it cooks, you know, it reheats faster, maybe. So for these two reasons, okay, and we take into account both of these reasons, for both of these reasons, a person is not allowed to take even something which has been fully cooked from before Shabbat, you can't take it out of the fridge and put it onto a flame on Shabbat. Not just that, even if when Shabbat began it was on the fire, so it was already there, now you've taken it off and you've left it out, and it's cooled down now. Can you put that back on? You also can't put that back on. Because it's now, it's you know, even though it was originally on the fire and Shabbat began, but now, taking off, put it back on, there is that concern again, these two concerns which we've discussed. Nonetheless, a person fulfills two conditions, two simple conditions, then he may actually return and put food, he may return food onto, let's say, a blech on Shabbat. What are those two conditions? What are the two conditions? Number one is that the flame is covered. If the flame is covered with a blech, for example, or aluminium foil, something like that, what that does is, number one, it's a recognition that you won't come to actually increase the flame. Okay? And number two is that it doesn't look like an act of cooking, because it's not a normal way you cook with something material there in between the pot and the food. It's not a normal way of cooking. Right? And therefore, if you have a partition, you have a blech, something there between the flame and the food, and the pot, that's fine. And the second condition is that you don't take the pot off, or the food off, and go and put it, let's say, in a place like a fridge or on the floor, somewhere like that, because then when you pick it up again or take it out of the fridge, you're putting it back on, and that's like a new act. As long as you have taken off, you put it on the table, you've served, you have to be holding it all the time. Yeah? You have to be holding it. You can take off the table, leave on the table, serve people, and then you want to put it back onto the covered stove, that's fine. But if you're going to put it in the fridge, and then take it out of the fridge and put it back on, then that's already a new action, and therefore even though you have a blech, it's still going to be a problem. So as long as you've got those two conditions, you need to remember. Number one is that it's covered, okay? It's covered, and the flame is covered, okay? And number two is that, the flame is covered, number two is that, you haven't done an action which is cutting off the original concept of the food being on the fire. As long as it's a continuation, that's fine. If you go and put it on the floor, put it in the fridge, and then take it out again, that's already like a new action, and that's forbidden. However, very important exception to this. This doesn't apply with hot plates. Okay? This doesn't apply with hot plates. Why? Because think about a hot plate. A hot plate, hot plates which I talked about before, neither of these two concerns are applicable. Okay? Number one, is there a concern that you're going to increase the temperature? No, because there's no dial. If there's a dial, then there is a problem. But our hot plates today, which don't have dials, no concern you're going to increase the temperature. What about the second concern? It looks like cooking. Yeah? What about that concern? It looks like cooking. It doesn't look like cooking, because you don't cook on a hot plate. And we know that hot plates are called, even in Hebrew, they're called Platter Shel Shabbat. Yeah, they're called the hot plate of Shabbat. You know, it's clear that this is for Shabbat itself. Okay, therefore there's no concern that it looks like cooking. And therefore when it comes to a hot plate, I'm not talking about a flame which is just covered with aluminium foil. When it comes to a hot plate, then you can even take something out of the fridge and put it onto the hot plate. Provide it's a solid. A liquid, the main over here rabbinic prohibition, there's a biblical prohibition, because you can't reheat liquids. Yeah? But a solid though, you would be allowed to take it out and go and put it onto hot plate on Shabbat. So you can take schnitzel out, you can take meat out, yeah, as long as it's solid, or like we've said until now, the majority solid, even if it's got liquid in it. So you can take out of your fridge salmon with sauce and put it onto the hot plate, that's totally fine. Therefore this is why people have become more and more using hot plates, more than blechs, more than aluminium foil, because that's a hot plate, a whole different category. And with the hot plates, you can put any solid, so you can take it out of the fridge and put it onto the hot plate on Shabbat.
And you can put solid directly on the platter
also? Put it on the platter, yes. On the hot plate. Yeah, direct on the platter.
So there's no problem of Hazara on a hot plate?
No, that's precisely the point.
With the solid.
Well, even a liquid is a problem of chazara. The problem of the liquid isn't the returning. The problem of the liquid is cooking. It's the same idea with the hot plate. There is no concept of chazara. No concept of putting back on. The issue is, you need bishul. So you're reheating a cold liquid. But there's no issue in actually taking something out of the fridge. This is what the minhag of many people are, is to do. To actually take it out of the fridge and put it on the hot plate. Same reason, you can take, let's say, challah, you want to heat up your challah, okay, you can take it and put it directly on the hot plate. To go and take that challah and put it on a blech would be problematic, because it hasn't been there from before Shabbat, and it hasn't, you don't have the two conditions of it being a continuation, right? A hot plate though, so it's clear, and Chum Avadiyah and other poskim, that there is no problem of chazara at all, and a person may take something and actually put it for the first time onto the hot plate. Now you mentioned before, which was correct, said that a liquid this doesn't apply to, because a liquid once it's cooled down, then you can no longer reheat it. You can't put it on the hot plate. Okay, but what did we say at the beginning? How would you be able to reheat a liquid? You want to take a pot of soup out of the fridge. Okay? So putting it on the hot plate, they said there's no problem of returning because it's a hot plate. But there's a biblical permission, looks like it's bishul, not looks like it is bishul. You're reheating. You're eating the so what did we say you could do? You can ask a goy. Exactly. You can ask a goy. So in such a case, you could ask a goy to go and take the chicken soup, to go and take the liquid, wherever it is. And put it onto the blech would be blech's more complicated, but even that rod is material, even onto a blech, but not onto a naked plane. Okay. You wouldn't be able to, because there is the problem with chazal. Yeah. So that's, as long as you've got a hot plate at home, you know, with solid, you're definitely fine. And even the liquids, you know, if you're taking off a liquid, if you're taking off part of soup, you're serving people. A few minutes, you can put it back on, because you'll still be. Yatzoledet boy will still be 45 degrees, okay? But if it cools down, the soup, less 45 degrees, then you can no longer put, yourself can't put it back on the hot plate. But you should know something important, and that is, there is a possibility, even for a Jew himself, you're going to have a non-Jew in your house, and you don't have a non-Jew in your vicinity to call, there is a way for yourself, actually, to reheat a liquid on Shabbat. How would you do that? How could you yourself reheat a liquid on Shabbat?
Can I switch on the hot plate?
Yeah, excellent. So, you could actually, what you could do is, if your hot plate's on a timer, and it's currently off, okay, then you can put it onto the hot plate, where it's off.
On Shabbat.
It's black and white and Chum Avadiyah. You can put it onto the hot plate on Shabbat when it's off. So you're not doing anything now. Half an hour later, it comes on. And it warms up by itself. Okay? Now, that you shouldn't be do with uncooked food. Okay? You want to go into the reasons why. Okay? Although the logic you could argue would even apply to cooking for the first time, it doesn't apply. You can't. Cooked food, raw food, you cannot do that. Yeah? You could argue, I could take raw food out of and actually go and put it in a pot on the hot plate, and it's going to come on. In half an hour's time, the stove is going to come half an hour's time. No, you can't do that. Specific leniency, and we won't go into the reasons why, specific leniency when it comes to liquids that have already been boiled and have now cooled down, a Jew may put it onto the hot plate before the hot plate comes on, and that's it. Okay, so it's a certain
temperature the hot plate need to be on, and there's some hot plate are very hot.
No, because it's the hot plate of Shabbat, right? And there's no problem of, it doesn't look like cooking, and neither is there a problem of you're gonna, again, if it's got a dial, that's a different issue. You can change the temperature, but if it's hopefully without a temperature, it's fine. Yeah. So that's the idea of chazara, the second there for putting things onto Shabbat. The first point we talked about was from before Shabbat, okay, and allowing it to continue to cook over the course of Shabbat. Now what we've talked about is actually returning something. Or putting something for the first time onto the fire on Shabbat that you're not allowed to do, okay? If you've got a blech, what you can do is put it on as long as it's been on before and you're continuing the act. So that, how do you continue it? As long as you haven't done something to show that you've cut it off from the region, putting it in the fridge, something like that. If you've got a hot plate though, hot plate's even on a higher level than that, it's no problem at all, and then you can actually take a solid out and put it onto the hot plate. A liquid, you'd have to ask the goy if the hot plate's constantly on. If hot plate's not constantly on, okay, it's on the timer, then you yourself could actually put it on the hot plate, and then when the timer comes on, it will reheat the soup. So Many people, they do it. Put the, you know, it's Shabbat, you know, having your lunch at 11:30, 12 o'clock. So, put it on at 9, before you go to shul, 9 o'clock or 8:30, you put it on, and it comes at 11 o'clock, then you reheat by itself. That would be fine.
But say you have it on timers, and it goes on and off, and you want to, it hasn't cooled down yet, and you want to put it on for when it comes back on, is that a problem?
When it's off now.
So for example, 10 o'clock goes on, 11 o'clock goes off,
yeah.
It's going to come back on at 12, it's not cooled down completely, you can
no.
have it on.
No, if it's, yeah, it's bar, if it's 45, if, it's, if heat is 45 degrees, then you can't. That's cooking.
It has to be completely cold.
Less than 45 degrees.
Less than 45
degrees. Not completely cold, it's 45 degrees. Okay, one final rabbinic prohibition. Okay, and this will conclude the whole cooking and, you know, that element of Shabbat. It's called Hatmana. Okay, this will talk about crockpots briefly. Hatmana means to wrap something totally on Shabbat, to envelop something. And there is, a rabbinic prohibition. Let's say you have, let's take a pot of soup. You have a pot of soup on Shabbat. And you've taken it off the hot plate, and the hot plate's staying on the whole Shabbat. And, I'll tell you what, you know, you don't have a way to keep your food hot on Shabbat. You didn't put the hot plate on, but just before Shabbat you boiled it, very hot, okay. And now what you want to do is you want to wrap up the pot with a towel all the way around, a few layers perhaps even, and that can keep the heat. Yeah, you can have pots in a few hours. I've seen, you know, big pots, a good 4 or 5 hours into Shabbat, they've been, you know, kept wrapped up with a towel, a few towels, still very hot. Okay, it's a very effective, and this is what they do in the olden days. This is how they keep fruit hot, and you don't have coals, you don't keep the coals on Shabbat. You heat it up before Shabbat, and then go and wrap it up. Hachamim said that you shouldn't wrap something up, even if the wrapper, the thing you're wrapping it with, isn't actually giving it heat. It's just maintaining the heat. This is called Davar HaMa'amid Heaven. It's just maintaining the heat. You shouldn't wrap it up on Shabbat. Why? Because, again, another concern from the Torah, it's fine. Another rabbinic concern is that naturally when you wrap things up and you want to envelop them, you first heat it up before you do so. Because you want to, you know, you're not going to wrap up something which is only partially warm. First you'll heat it up. Therefore there was the concern that before you envelop it, before you wrap it up, you will first heat it up, and then of course you transgress the prohibition of igniting, cooking, etc. And therefore they said is you're not allowed to wrap something up on Shabbat itself, even if it's fully cooked, and even though it's not actually increasing heat. But this is only forbidden on Shabbat itself. So what you can do is, okay, and families in Israel do this, is they have a big, huge pot of soup, on it for the whole long Friday night, you boil it just before Shabbat, you take it off, you wrap it up totally, all the way around, and then that stays for a few hours until Shabbat stays nice and hot. That's done before Shabbat. On Shabbat itself, you're not allowed to. You're only not allowed to if you're fully wrapping it. If you're leaving one side open, that's fine. This decree was only when you fully wrap something, then you're actually giving it that heat. But if you're leaving one side open, then that is fine.
What do you mean by one side? So can you put a tea towel on top.
Yeah, but you've left the sides are open, so that's fine. On top is fine.
So the blanket is
enough. Sometimes on the hot plate, it's a bit more complicated. And we'll come to now. So what I've talked about is just like a towel. Okay. Now, what I've said is talking about something which just maintains the heat, like a towel. Okay. The Davar HaMosif Hevel, something which actually increases heat. It actually is positively giving its heat. That's forbidden to do even from before Shabbat. Okay, there's a reason for that. So, what you couldn't do in the olden days, take your pot and wrap it up with coals all the way around. Okay, even if you were to do that from before Shabbat. Okay? Now, if you think about it, there aren't so many practical applications of this because we don't have that. What do we have today which actually gives heat? Okay, not just maintains heat, something which actually positively gives heat, which you can wrap something totally up in. You don't really have much. Okay? However, this possibly, you think about it, a crock pot. What's a crock pot? A crock pot is a heating element. Okay? And just the bottom of that. And what you do is you're going to take a pot and you put that pot in. And you're totally enveloping that pot. Yeah? So you could argue that is a problem of even from before Shabbat. You see the issue? Even from before Shabbat. Which is why some actually don't allow crock pots on Shabbat. Yeah? Because of this issue. That you are increasing the heat, you are leaving something, leaving it to something which is wrapping it up. However, the halakha is that we are allowed to use crock pots on Shabbat. Okay? The halakha is allowed to use crock pots on Shabbat. And the reason being is a few reasons for this. Okay? I won't go into all the reasons, but two main reasons, I'll say, is that the crock pot, you think about it, the lid on top, okay, there's only one lid, there aren't two lids. And what's written clear in the halakha is that the actual cover of food, which is to keep it clean, to stop dust falling in, that's not considered hatmana, that's not considered covering. Because if you think about it, if there's a problem in wrapping something up on Shabbat, how can you ever put a lid back on? You serve the soup on the table, yeah? You put the lid back on, you're now wrapping it up, aren't you? No. Anything which is the actual layer of the food itself, that's fine on Shabbat. Okay, and therefore, even though you want to argue that the sides of the crock pot, they are being double wrapped, in a sense, the food in the pot is being double wrapped. Yeah, because you've got the actual pot itself with the food, which is then being wrapped again with the elements in the crock pot. So that's a problem. That's a problem. You're wrapping something up. The pot itself is fine, but take that pot and wrap it in a towel, wrap it in something else. That's the problem. That's what we're talking about. So a crock pot, in a sense, is a double wrapping around the food. Nonetheless, it's fine because the actual lid itself is only one layer. So to go and put something on top of that lid would be a problem because then you actually wrap the whole thing around. Okay, there's another reason as well, but some just want to make sure there's no problem at all. So what they do is, and this is good to do, take an aluminium ball, okay, two aluminium balls, and put it under the pot itself, between the heating elements in the crock pot, okay, and like that, you've definitely covered all opinions, even those who are not happy with the lid. What I've just said, like that, what you're doing is you have a gap between the pot itself with the food in, and the heating element of the crock pot. You put a couple of aluminium balls in between, some silver foil, make it a wall and put it underneath, and that's definitely fine. That's what some people do. But strictly speaking, it's very clearly, a person may use a crock pot on Shabbat. One final point, and then we'll finish, we'll take questions. A thermos flask. The winter now, it's very applicable. A hot water bottle. Can you use a thermos flask or a hot water bottle on Shabbat? What would you say? Because there you think about it, you don't actually have Definitely a hot water bottle, also a thermos flask. You don't actually have the actual, you don't just have, a pot itself is fine, we said, but a hot water bottle, you have the pot of the plastic, and then you have a wrapping, something wrapped around it. It's like a double layer, yeah? Or a thermos flask, it's done twice, yeah? At least.
Even the lid is.
Yeah, exactly, even the lid is. You've totally enveloped it, you've totally wrapped it around. Nonetheless, that's fine. Both hot water bottles and thermos flask you're allowed to use on Shabbat. You're even allowed to pour the water in from the urn on Shabbat. Why? Because this whole prohibition of Hatmana, important to remember, only applies to a Kli Rishon. Only applies to the actual pot itself, which was on the fire. That you can't wrap up. Pot of soup, pot of food, Kli Rishon, the first Kli, the primary utensil. Once it's been transferred into a Kli Sheni, then it's far less concerned that you're going to boil it up and warm it up before you put it in. Therefore, hot water bottle or a thermos flask will be a Kli Sheni, and therefore there won't be an issue. I'm happy to take questions after.
As well, isn't it? You can take out that hot water and put it in the pan then.
And then wrap it up.
And then wrap it up.
No problem at all. That brings us to the end of, so just to summarize what we learned tonight, we did Shehiya, Chazana, Hatmana. We finished off Bishul. We talked a few points about cooking, finished off last week. We talked about three things tonight, three rabbinic prohibitions, which are all important. Number one is from before Shabbat, leaving food to cook on Shabbat. Second is putting food onto the fire on Shabbat. Number three is wrapping things up on Shabbat. Of course, there's far more to this, but we've tried to touch the basics. and the basic concepts and the reasons for why, you know, now you hope you understand why we have hot plates, why we have blechs, and why we have urns, and it should be boiled up before Shabbat, all these points. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're starting a totally new topic. Very interesting questions we're going to discuss next week, please God. I'm going to talk about peeling fruit and vegetables, squeezing, you know, making orange juice and making these types of things, you know, squeezing a lemon into your tea, onto a salad, making ice cubes, using soap on Shabbat, freezing water, milking animals, all these types of things. And also, we will also spend the other half of the shiur talking about borer, selecting, and we'll talk about bones and fish, chicken, setting the table on Friday night for Shabbat lunch, and so on and so forth. So that's going to be an important shiur next week, please God. Here Tuesday night, same time, 7:45 p.m. I'll take questions after.